Asia. A word found in this 11th chapter, Gospel of Luke. Reading the first part of the 22nd verse. Luke 11, first part of the 22nd verse. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherewith he trusted, and divideth his spoil. We would leave the context, the solemn context in which these words are found, and feel a desire to speak of that kingdom of his grace, that kingdom in which Jesus rules, his subjects made willing in the day of his power to worship him and he alone. A stronger than he. We read an account which Moses left under the inspiration of God of the beginning of time, when the Spirit of God moved upon the waters and light shone in that place that was afore dark, without form and void. That season when it pleased the eternal God to create the heavens and the earth, to form this world and create man and beast upon it. Man formed in the image of God. The word records, it speaks of those counsels of Jehovah ere time began. It brings us to remember the Trinity of persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as 'tis recorded. The words of this eternal God, let us form man, let us form man in our own image. Thus man was created, in the likeness of God. Adam communed with God in the garden, face to face. Nothing there was betwixt man and his creator. But we well know the record of Holy Scripture, And we feel, we can say, we know it in experience, that Adam fall, the serpent beguiled Eve. Eve tempted Adam. They partook of that forbidden fruit, and the curse of God was pronounced upon all mankind. That curse which is indeed apparent down to this present day and age. He spake unto Adam, thou shalt die, thou shalt die. From this we understand not that he should, on partaking of that forbidden fruit, suffer corporal death, for we know he lived, and 'tis recorded he begat sons and daughters, but he fell, and his spirit, that spirit which aforetime could commune with God, fell. 'Twas dead. It died. And this is that which is known and felt by each that are brought under the Spirit's teaching, that indeed there is that enmity within the heart, that which is indeed against God and godliness. Sin reigns within. The effect of that fall of Adam, Adam's seed, we are indeed fallen from that blessed estate of grace. And there, but for the rich mercy of God, we lie. And there we hasten those steps unto eternal perdition, except there be this one which the word reveals, this one who is spoken of here, who lieth, as it were, beneath the word of God, concealed to those that have not eyes to see, concealed to those that know not the plague of their own heart, who know and feel themselves by nature to be captive unto Satan, willing, alas, willing captives in his kingdom. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. No, is not this that which the living soul, that one who is born of the Spirit of God, longs for often daily? We uttered, I believe, in prayer the words of the hymn writer. It feels to seems to express the very feelings of one's own spirit. Erect thy throne within my heart, and reign without a rival there. We are brought thus to realize that we are sinners. God breathed into Adam breath, and he became a living soul. All mankind must give an account of those deeds done in the body. There is a soul which must give an account. The judgment day It must and shall come when the judge of all the earth shall bring his subjects before him to either be come or depart. There is this distinction, a solemn distinction. It runs throughout the word of God. It was manifest in those two sons of Adam. It is manifest in their seed. By nature, we are indeed the seed of Adam, fallen creatures, prone to every evil, a heart which hankers after things of this time state. And alas, those of you who know in any little measure that of thine own heart will not quarrel with the thought that every evil is found within. The commands of God we have broken, and we stand under that same curse. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Such is our condition. But we have in that account of the fall that first blessed word of comfort and promise, that covenant promise of God unto his people, that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, whilst the seed of the serpent should bruise his heel. Concealed in that word is the gospel. Being in that early time, the very beginnings of time, we have that recorded of the work of the Trinity of Persons, blessed triune God, God the Father, God the Spirit moving upon the waters, and God the Son, three in one and one in three, all concerned in that salvation of that elect number, that people chosen in the purposes of God ere time began. This people from the masses of humanity who shall be brought forth by the power of God to realize their condition by nature. One says, though all are sinners in God's sight, few so are in their own. But a little remnant, a little people, are brought under the conviction of the Spirit of God to realize that within is a leprosy, a contagious disease, which shall, unless cured, bring death, eternal perdition. We speak not of death as being the final act, but that forerunner, that opening into eternity. And there, oh, unless they are healed of that condition, they shall be found at that bottomless pit. These, we feel, are solemn things. And we little thought of opening on this strain, but the Lord knoweth. Oh, the Lord knoweth. There is a little remnant. They're scorned. They're despised. They're set at naught. They're derided. Indeed, such is the scorn felt at Sidon's, that they reel under it, but a little remnant were brought to sea and mourn o'er their condition. These who know the power of evil within, made to loathe themselves because of indwelling sin. They realize that they're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. They realize they come forth from the womb speaking lies. There is none good, no, not one. None perfect, none holy. All come under that one curse. Curse of God against sin. Pronounced upon Adam and his seed. Such know and feel. Alas, that union with Adam. They quarrel not in that realization that they come forth from his loins and are thus fallen from grace. They know and realize, alas, that enmity within their heart against God and godliness. They mourn over it, concerned regarding it. Satan rules within their heart, captive unto his will. Such is the case and condition of every man, woman, child upon the face of the earth until the Lord is pleased to make this truth known in their experience, until he is pleased by his sovereign mercy to come one stronger than he, stronger than the mighty power of Satan, one who can come o'er that mighty power with his almighty power. What foolishness it is to think that any can come forth from nature's darkness and serve the true and living God in and of their own whim or fancy. Such is the language of those that preach free will. We hear it, alas, on every side. Those who speak of coming to Christ. Those who speak as if they have but to do this or do that, and God will accept them for their endeavors. It is not in this way thou hast learned Christ. Ye have not so learned Christ. 'Tis with that knowledge that he has stopped thee in thy mad career. It may not be as the apostles stopped in upon that Damascus road, in a moment of time, brought to his knees, brought to worship one whom he had persecuted. These instances are still known. Oh, may we never curtail, as it were, the power of God. These instances are known. One particular instance we will remember, that one was stopped, even as he drove home one night. He could not go further mall upon that road. He must treat her. It was a thus far and no further. He must return. The power of God. It is a thus far a stronger than he. One of us said he would never, never believe, except, and this was his very language, except he had a conversion. As 'twas Saul's ere he became Paul. These instances, the Lord in his mercy is pleased to make evident even in these last days. But for the most part, we verily believe it is a gentle work, a hidden work, a secret work. Again, it is recorded in those first verses of Holy Writ, the Spirit moved upon the waters. Moved upon the waters. Place where there was no form, no void, there was void. And so it is in the heart of man by nature. It is the Lord's work. He puts his hand upon that soul that makes them a living soul. He arrests them. Causes them to realize in that measure which he hath divinely appointed, that there are sinners in the sight of an holy, heart-searching God. And now they see that which they'd never seen before. They were, had been, and their old flesh was still subject to the man of sin. Satan. Oh, let none say, there is not such an one. The power of Satan is such that he holds in his hand multitudes upon the face of the earth. And this is felt within the heart of men, those that have been convicted by the Spirit of God. They know that that old nature is subject unto Satan and ever will be. Oh, let none deceive you that God takes that old nature and makes it progressively holy. This we discount. The Lord, in his rich mercy, lays within the heart of his people those whom he hath elected unto eternal life, that new heart, that heart of flesh. And this is known and felt by the living family of God as they realize the conflict betwixt flesh and spirit. The Canaanites still in the land. Oh, they have to mourn. Mourn because of the power of indwelling sin. Realizing that daily they fail and fall under those besetting evils. Realize the power of Satan is such that he often feels to have them in their very grip. Vice-like grip, indeed. And so he has all by nature. But at that appointed time, that set time to favor Zion, rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace a stronger than he. He hath them in his hands with that vice-like grip, and yet at that appointed time he must and shall relinquish that hold upon them. God hath appointed it, that set time when such shall be brought forth from under his dominion and placed in that kingdom of his grace. A stronger than he shall come. We trust we each know somewhat of this work of the Spirit of God. Essential unto salvation. Many professions there are, But there is but one true and living God. Even natural reasoning should be able to comprehend that. God is everywhere. In eternity. In space. He's everywhere. Can there be any other God? There is none other God. I know not any. God is everywhere. The eternal, ever living God. 'Tis within the heart of man, that fallen nature, to worship. But corrupt as that nature is, it will never worship God, the eternal God. Not truly worship, except there be that bringing forth from the stronghold of Satan. They'll bow down. Oh, 'tis apparent as we look o'er the masses in the world. Each have their idols, as it were. Many bow down to idols of wood and stone. Raise up this and that, the work of men's hands. E'en those that profess themselves atheists bow down in spirit and worship. 'Tis inherent within mankind. But oh, what a favour 'tis. Would we not rightly been able to realize it and say with the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord, and forget not all his benefits, if indeed thou hast been brought to bow before thy Maker, to realize that work of the Spirit of God, that new birth, that bringing forth through that wicket gate of regeneration, beholding afar off that light, the precious light of the gospel, venturing towards it, feebly seeking to attain unto the knowledge of Christ, to see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, with that desire, an aching void within, which the world can never fill, realizing the power of evil, the wretchedness of thine own heart, mourning, grieving, concerned daily often because of the effects of it in thy life. One says, daily I'd wash in Calvary's blood, daily confess my sin. Oh, such is the work of the Spirit of God, as they reveal, it is revealed unto that soul from whence they've come, and still realizing that power of evil within, but there it lieth hidden within the heart. And often, through the contagious, subtle temptations of Satan, erupts. We felt it like this at seasons, as if he instills that venom into our very bloodstream. And there is that that comes forth and shows from whence it comes. Is thy cry, thy desire, that which the apostle expressed, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Made himself of no reputation. Humbled. Obedient. Passive unto the
power of God, his eternal Father, submissive to his will, not my will, but thine be done. Let this mind be in you, this mind, which was also in Christ Jesus. An enduring, a patient enduring suffering, a patient enduring of those buffetings of the evil one. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A desire wrought by the Spirit of God. And yet, oh yet, we have to find the flesh rises up. The corruptions of the heart. The pride of life. The wretched influences of the evil one. These things erupt and cause us much shame, much confusion oft. No flesh or glory in his presence. We felt like this at times, even when buffeted and scorned. The Lord will never allow one of his, and we speak it reverently, to gloat. He'll bring them to know the truth of those words which we have expressed. He made himself of no reputation. Reputation indeed is one thing perhaps we cling unto. But he made himself of no reputation. He suffered patiently and endured that which was laid upon him. Let this mind be in you. When a stronger than he is gone, oh then, do we not feel the need of this appearing of one stronger than the adversary, one that can conquer those powers of evil within, reign o'er us as king, accomplish thy will, and powerfully bring us forth from all ill? We read, yea, commenced our reading with those words concerning the desire of the disciples when Jesus had ceased in prayer. They sought, thus, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. He led them forth. He speaks and instructs them to reverence his great and holy name. All this must ever be that upon our spirit as we approach the Holy One of Israel. To bow before him, we are but worms of this earth, sinful creatures, and my acceptance can alone be found in Christ. The majesty of heaven, oh, it is ours to creep beside him. One says, as a worm, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Satan rules in the masses. His kingdom, oh, it is an extensive kingdom. 'Tis apparent that he wields great power in these latter days. Many are held in his sway. In whose kingdom? In whose kingdom are we? Do we not cry, let thy kingdom come? Thy kingdom come. That season when, in vital experience, shall be realized that he reigns within. That we are subjects under his dominion. That our desire is unto him. In that Adam fall, man lost that faculty to delight in God. Lost that ability do delight thus in their Creator. But in the second Adam, in the Lord Jesus Christ, one stronger than the evil one, stronger than Satan. Oh, there by faith they behold that rich provision in the gospel. We look within, sink under a sight of that which lieth there. We feel and have felt 'tis but a little we know, and that little, but that little we can bear of the abominations felt within. But oh, the extent of it is known alone to God. But to look away from self, oh, faith in gracious exercise, prompted by the Spirit of God, will look alone unto that one sacrifice for sin. Oh, see there that one, that one that conquered the powers of darkness, Satan, his agents, they thought it was their day. Indeed, the Lord exclaimed, 'Tis the day of darkness, 'tis thy day. The day of darkness, 'tis that hour of darkness. But oh, as 'tis to be realized in experience, Satan always outsteps himself, or runs himself. He thought there he had put an end to all that was proclaimed concerning the promised Messiah. 'Twas indeed a day of darkness. Behold the Lamb of God slain upon Calvary's cross. Behold him suffering there. The day of darkness. They thought they had gained their ends. We read of that watch which that was instructed should be set o'er the sepulchre, that none could steal him away. They feared even there that there should be that coming forth from the grave. But all their efforts were futile. They were, as we've often had to express, but furthering the designs of God in his salvation for sinners. And they were putting, oh, solemn it is to realize, they were even in the hand of God in these things to further his wondrous intentions towards his people. They thought it their hour. In reality, 'twas the hour when Christ himself conquered. Hearken unto the word of triumph. It is finished. A stronger than he. A stronger than he. It is finished. The work is accomplished. The deed is done. Sin abounded in that place, in Gethsemane and upon Calvary. The sins of all the election of grace, a great multitude of iniquity. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. A stronger than he overcame the powers of darkness. The very temple, the curtain of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, signifying that opening into the holiest of holies, that way of access unto God in heaven. A greater than he accomplished, oh, accomplishing there the eternal purposes of God, purposed ere time began, for the salvation of his people, a greater than he, laid in the sepulchre. But the grave could not hold him. Death could not contain him. We preach not a dead Christ, but a risen Christ. Would know nothing amongst men save Christ and him crucified. He rose again, triumphant, conqueror, all the powers of darkness, one stronger than he. He rose, triumphant, revealed himself as a risen Christ unto Mary and those disciples favoured with that sight with their mortal eyes, one that overcame the powers of darkness. I am he that was dead and am alive again, and have the keys of death and of hell. We preach an ascended Christ, one now at the Father's right hand, sat down, that work accomplished, now carrying on that work above, advocating the cause of his people. And 'tis thus this weak, feeble people now overcome the powers of evil through the intercession of Christ. The cry of the worldling, it comes to mind. Is it not that which was hurled at Nehemiah? What do these feeble Jews cry of the worldling as they behold this weak, despised, rejected people? What do these feeble Jews? Yet, they derive their strength from he that hath overcome and is now at the Father's right hand, advocating their cause, pleading for them. Their strength is sustained from that support given, realized through that fullness which is in Christ, that fullness which ever abides to answer their needs. A kingdom, the kingdom of his grace. And at the close of time, they shall be translated into the kingdom of his glory. And there shall they ascribe all honour and glory to him that hath overcome, one stronger than Satan, stronger than they themselves, all their iniquities, all their rebellion, they'll ascribe all honour and glory unto him who hath saved them with an eternal salvation.